Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, where we bring you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. And I think it's fair to say there are a number of members of Congress that don't want you to know that they are gay. That's right. While there are three openly gay members of Congress, one of them is going to be my guest today, Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts. The other two are Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin and Congressman Jim Colby of Arizona. While these three are open, there are members of Congress in the House and the Senate in both parties that do not wish to disclose their sexual orientation. Now, I am a firm believer in the right to privacy. And so this poses quite a difficult dilemma for me because I ask the question, is there an exception to that rule? If you have a closeted gay politician who supports anti-gay legislation, let's say they voted in favor of the federal marriage amendment, let's say they support that, which came to the Senate floor yesterday, we'll talk about that in a bit. If a gay politician is openly gay to his or her family, his or her friends, and his or her colleagues, I mean, most of these members of Congress, everybody in Congress knows, hey, we staffers knew who's gay, right? They're very open in their private lives and in their extended private lives. Should their constituents know? And should their constituents know if, in fact, they are hypocrites? If, in fact, they are voting in a way that harms gay people? And you can take it one step further. My second guest, who will come on the latter half of the hour, is Chris Crane, the editor of the Washington Blade, Washington's premier gay newspaper. What about staffers? What about staffers who are gay, who work for homophobes, who work for politicians that are against gay rights? In fact, the Washington Blade just did an article on one such staffer, and you're going to hear from Chris Crane later in the broadcast. It's an interesting question. It's a difficult question. It takes two principles we have, exposing hypocrisy versus the right to privacy. And I don't have any easy answers, but I expect quite a lively debate on air, and I hope you'll join in by calling 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. If my weblog is any indication, though, it's quite a controversial topic. We've already gotten lots of encourage you to go ahead and give your opinion on the weblog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. Congressman Barney Frank is only here for the first half hour, so if you want to talk to him, you'll have to call in that first half hour. But before we get to him, I want to briefly discuss what happened yesterday. On the Senate floor, the Republicans in Congress decided to put forward an amendment to bar the right of states to allow gay people to marry. Now, both Bush and Cheney, in their campaigns, supported the right of states to make this decision. Marriage has been a state's right, if you will, for centuries. In fact, for all of United States history, it's been determined state by state who can marry. That's why you can get quickie divorces in Nevada, but you can't in some other states. Well, Bush and Cheney both said in their campaign it's a state's rights issue, and both flip-flopped on it today. Now they claim to support the federal marriage amendment. But I've actually managed to pull together a couple quotes, some feed, if you will, from what they said during the campaign. First, I want to play for you what George Bush said to Larry King when Larry King interviewed him precisely on this issue.
So therefore, if a state were voting on gay marriage, you would suggest to that state not to approve it.
The state can do what they want to do. Don't try to trap me in this state's issue like you're trying to get me into.
Got it? The state can do what they want to do. Don't try to trap me. Don't even make me decide whether I would tell a state to support gay marriage or not. And they say Kerry's a flip-flopper? Where do you hear Dick Cheney? This is in the vice presidential debate with Joe Lieberman.
People should be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want to enter into. It's really no one else's business in terms of trying to regulate or prohibit behavior in that regard. I think different states are likely to come to different conclusions, and that's appropriate. I don't think there should necessarily be a federal policy in this area.
So you heard it. You heard Bush and Cheney during the campaign. Like I said, they call Kerry a flip-flopper. I don't know. Both of them support the federal marriage amendment. But it went down in flames yesterday. In fact, they couldn't even get a majority of senators to agree to cut off debate to consider the issue. Now, as you know, a constitutional amendment requires a two-thirds vote of both the Senate and the House and a three-quarters vote of state legislatures. They couldn't even get two-thirds of senators to agree on the federal marriage amendment. In fact, they only got 48 votes. So I'm going to ask my guest about that, and then we'll move on to our topic of the day, when to out closeted gay politicians. My first guest is Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts. He's my former boss, and I should say that staffers on the Hill vote every year on who they think is the best member of Congress, the most brilliant, the most funny. And I got to tell you, my former boss, Congressman Barney Frank, has been voted year after year both the most funny and the most brilliant man in Congress. He is openly gay. He's been in Congress for 25 years and has been openly gay for 15, so he's the senior of the three people in Congress that are openly gay. And I'm very honored and privileged to have him on the air with me. Welcome, Congressman Frank, to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to work with you in this additional capacity.
Well, thanks again. Let me ask you, before we get to the topic at hand, just to comment briefly on what the Senate did yesterday. Were you surprised they couldn't even get a majority?
No, not toward the end, but... And you very accurately described it. I would have been incredulous if someone had predicted in January when the president first announced it that we would do this well. I didn't ever expect it to get a two-thirds majority, but I thought we were going to have to work at that. I thought it would get 60 or 61. And as you know, because I know how closely you follow this, not only did they only get 48 votes on the motion of cloture, the reason there was a cloture motion, the Democrats were ready to let that go to a vote. Bill Frist filed the cloture motion very prematurely on the second day of the debate because he did not want the vote to be on the actual amendment, because if it had been on the amendment rather than on whether or not to cut off debate, it would have gotten even fewer votes. There were several people, Senator Warner of Virginia has apparently said this, and a couple of others, they probably would have gotten 45 votes for it if they had voted up or down on the constitutional amendment. And by the last couple of weeks we knew this, but... That's a sign that public opinion is not manipulable in a homophobic way the way George Bush had hoped it would be.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say, just hypothetically, we won't call any names here, let's say you have a senator who voted in favor of the federal marriage amendment. Of course, we didn't have that vote, as you pointed out. It was a vote on cloture, a vote to cut off debate. But let's say you have a senator who is, again, hypothetically, openly gay in their private life. Their friends know, their families know, their colleagues on the Hill know that that senator, he or she is gay, and yet that senator votes to oppose equal rights for gay people in marriage. Do you think that gay activists have the right? Of course, anyone can say anything they want. It's a free country. But do you think they should expose that kind of hypocrisy?
Yes, where we are talking about the elected official himself or herself, definitely. I think it is, and the issue is, as you put it, hypocrisy. It's not a case of privacy. I would put it to people this way. If it turned out that Sarah Brady, who's done such great work on behalf of gun control, If it turned out that she owned an Uzi, I think it would be legitimate for the NRA to point that out. If you find someone who has been a crusader to make abortion illegal, and you find that she had an abortion or that he helped someone, in other words, the question here is hypocrisy. And, you know, there's a fundamental philosophical principle that's motivated our democracy, laid down by John Locke in the 17th century. He said one argument for democracy is the people who make the rules should have to live under the rules. If I make a set of rules that I don't have to live under, I may make them much harsher than if they're going to govern me as well. So a fundamental principle of legitimacy and self-governance is the people who make the rules have to be under those rules. Well, if you have a person who is himself living an actively gay life, but then making rules that restrict other gay people from freedom, that's a violation of that fundamental principle. And I do believe that where the elected official is concerned, that sort of hypocrisy should not be protected.
Let me give out the phone numbers and so that listeners can join in this debate. The numbers are 877-57-SCOOP. That's a toll-free number, 877-57-SCOOP. Or you can send an email, as many of you do, to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. Another way to comment, as many of you already have, is to comment on the weblog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. Many of you commented on the weblog before this show began. And I want to read to you, Congressman Frank, one of the comments that I got on the weblog that someone who disagrees with you and says, even though I think this person, because he commonly contributes to the show, is supportive of gay rights, he says, hasn't this topic fallen into the category of who cares? Are our minds so small that this myopia still matters? If we voted on the basis of sexual prowess and inclination, wouldn't hermaphrodites be our leading political candidates? Doesn't making homosexuality a moot point give homosexuals integrity and equality?
In general, yes. A person's sexual orientation ought not to be relevant. That's why I cited guns and abortion. The issue here is not whether or not someone is gay, to titillate. It is whether or not an individual in a prominent position is making one set of rules and then violating them. I'll give you another example, and this is a case where our society has gotten better. It used to be the case during Prohibition that people who voted for Prohibition would drink heavily. Well, that was wrong, and it's not simply a case of gotcha. What we're saying is this, and that's why I cited John Locke. The principle is very important. One guard we have against unfair rules, rules that are oppressive to people, is if the people who make the rules have to live under them. If you give the people who make the rules a pass from obeying the rules, you're inviting them to make unfairly harsh rules. And what we're saying is if someone is going to have to live under the rules he makes, then maybe he or she won't make those anti-gay rules. That's the point. It's not simply a case of, let's satisfy our prurient instincts. It is enforcing that fundamental principle of democracy.
Okay, well then let's take it one step. The editor of the Washington Blade, who's coming on later in this hour, has talked about whether you shouldn't out closeted gay staffers on the Hill who are working for some of the biggest homophobes in Congress, people who consistently try to take away gay rights. What if they are actively helping to create legislation that harms gay people? Should they be added too?
In some cases, yes. I think this becomes a case-by-case situation. The less important, the less influential the individual is, obviously, the less you would sweep them under this.
There you wouldn't take a receptionist, for example.
Yeah. Beyond that, it depends on what area they work in. If someone works in an area totally unrelated to gay rights and isn't involved in the person's campaign, then I don't think you can fairly hold them accountable for this. As you know from your own work, in electoral positions, there's an inevitable political component. People observe the distinction, but when you're whatever you're doing, there's a certain political element. But I would say I would make that the exception, not the rule. I don't say automatically if you're gay or lesbian and you're working for someone who's got an anti-gay or lesbian record, you get outed. But, you know, one case, you're working for Jesse Helms,
okay,
who was a virulent, aggressive anti-gay figure. There's a senator, James Imhoff, who used to be a representative. And when he was a representative, he announced that he would not allow any gay people to work for him. He'd fire them. Well, I don't think a closeted gay person has a right to work in that situation. I don't think you are doing the decent thing when you're allowing that kind of bigotry to be perpetrated. So I'd say here it's case by case.
Well, that's actually interesting because one of the specific senators that I'm going to talk about with Chris Crane later on in the hour is Senator James Inhofe and a staffer that was working for him. So we'll get to that later in the hour. Mr. Frank, I know in the past, I know this, but our listeners may not know this, you have threatened to out gay politicians. Can you tell us the circumstances of when that happened?
Yes. I did it twice.
Okay.
Once, when Tom Foley was about to become Speaker of the House, back when Jim Wright was unfortunately forced to resign. Ironically, he was forced to resign by Newt Gingrich, who was going to have him reprimanded by the House. Gingrich himself later was reprimanded by the House for offenses that were more grievous than those he was pressing against Wright, and simply ignored it and didn't resign until a couple years later. Tom Foley was about to become Speaker, and there was a rumor being spread by people that he was having sex with underage males, that he was an abuser of teenagers.
Okay.
And one of the operatives at the Republican National Committee actually then put out a position paper, I think it was the Pink Paper, comparing it. Oh, no, it said, Tom Foley, out of the liberal closet. And it compared Tom Foley's voting record to mine. I was by that time publicly out. Well, Foley and I voted together some. There were plenty of people whose voting record would have been closer to Foley's than mine for a variety of geographic and other reasons. And clearly you had this Republican staffer hinting that Foley was gay and threatening to do him and using an allegation that someone was gay as a weapon. And at that point I said, look, I obviously don't agree with the view that if you're gay, that's a bad thing. But if the Republicans are going to use this, and this is from the Republican National Committee, from Lee Atwater's aide, so this was not coming out of some individual off-the-wall wacko. I said, if this is Republican policy, then it does seem to me that it's fair to identify who the gay Republicans are. And if he has a weapon, then I'm going to tell people who the gay Republicans are. Frankly, that led them to back off. I said that, and it was in the papers. And over the weekend, the Republicans reconsidered. And I came home. My then-lover and I had been out to dinner on Monday night. We came home. The voicemail, the message light was blinking on the machine. And it was Heather Foley, Tom Foley's wife, saying, we just got a call. Tom just got a call from Lee Atwater. Lee Atwater had used the White House switchboard to track down Congressman Foley. And basically he said, if Barney Frank will back off, so will we. So I said, fine, that's what I was trying to do. Secondly, when Bill Clinton, in a very important move for us, it's gotten too little attention and too little gratitude, abolished the rule that said that if you were gay, you couldn't get a security clearance, which had been in existence since 1954. It was promulgated by Eisenhower and continued by Kennedy and Johnson and Nixon and Ford and Carter and Reagan and Bush. And Bill Clinton, after 40 years, did away with this horrible policy. And at that point, Congressman Bob Dornan said he was going to file a bill to reinstate it, just as they had successfully blocked Clinton's effort to do away with the ban of gays in the military. But I thought in this case we had a much better political argument. So I did at that point again say that if the Republicans voted over my objection to make it that you couldn't get a security clearance if you were gay, I would consider it my patriotic duty to report all the gay Republicans to the Ethics Committee.
Okay.
And Dornan backed off.
But you haven't always, at least you haven't outed everyone that I think was in that position. I know that when the Defense of Marriage Act came around, and maybe you can give the circumstances of this, Representative Jim Colby of Arizona, maybe you can give the circumstances. He thought he was going to be outed, so he came out himself.
As I understand it, yeah. Jim Colby said that this is a public statement he's made. I've never really discussed it with him. He said that he understood that The Advocate, the magazine The Advocate, was about to out him because he is a gay man who was not then out, and he was did vote for the Defense of Marriage Act, and to my dismay, also voted against my amendment, which would have knocked out the worst part of the Defense of Marriage Act. That's the part that says that even if a state allows same-sex marriage, the federal government won't grant the appropriate recognition, which is a real problem for us now in Massachusetts. And Congressman Colby said that he had understood that The Advocate was about to out him, so he decided to beat them to the punch. My understanding is that The Advocate says that he was given misinformation, that they weren't planning to do that.
Okay, but he did it anyway. I mean, but do
you... Another one who was outed, by the way, another Republican congressman just before that, a very courageous fighter for gay rights, Congressman Steve Gunderson, in 1996, was outed on the floor by Bob Dornan, who I mentioned before, who is a virulently anti-gay member of Congress, finally defeated, fortunately, by Loretta Sanchez. But he outed Gunderson on the floor of the House.
Or a Republican that was in this hypocritical stance. It's not a question of party?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Let me go to the phones and get our callers in on this debate. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Barney Frank. What's your first name? Where are you from?
Hi, guys. This is Brian from New Jersey.
Hi, Brian from New Jersey. What's your comment or question?
Just tuned in. I wasn't sure if you had mentioned that. I believe Dick Cheney's daughter is gay. Is that correct?
That is correct. I think
and
that's publicly known.
I don't understand how somebody could be so cutthroat to even out their own daughter on this situation. That's just...
Well, I don't think she was outed. I think
No, the Cheneys didn't out her. I will say this. Actually, I want to give some credit to Lynn Cheney. Actually, in 2000, let's go back. Now, Dick Cheney did have a very anti-gay record in general. Although, by the way, when Dick Cheney was Secretary of Defense, and this is now public, his Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs was a gay man. Since he outed himself, Pete Williams, who's now a correspondent. But Pete Williams had worked for Cheney when he was a congressman. Pete was a young man, I think, from Wyoming, where Cheney is from. And he was Cheney's press secretary and his public affairs secretary. So here's a guy at the Pentagon who's a gay man having access to all of these secrets. By the way, that was at a time before Bill Clinton when it was still theoretically grounds for denying you a security clearance if you were gay. Here's this gay man being in charge of public information at the Pentagon, where presumably he knew everything.
And Dick Cheney knew he was gay, Congressman Frank?
Yes.
Okay.
And Dick Cheney himself, you just played that cut. Now, Dick Cheney himself, somewhat shamefully in my judgment, has backed away from that position. As you correctly pointed out, Mark, I heard that tag end. He and Bush have both flip-flopped outrageously on this. But Lynn Cheney, to her credit, Mary Cheney's mother, stuck by that position. So at least half the Cheney family is still being honestly honest. And Lynn Cheney did speak out against the anti-marriage constitutional amendment.
Good. That's what I wanted to hear.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call, Brian.
Thank you.
Congressman Frank, I have an email here from Gordon in Michigan, and he is taking this to the next step. He says, hi, does Barney Frank have an inside scoop? Does he have any hypocrites to out for the audience today?
No, for a couple of reasons. First of all, I really do not know myself anyone who is gay who is taking an active anti-gay position. That doesn't mean they're not there. I just don't know them. You know, people are saying they're going to out these people probably because they are out and about in D.C. and, with my workload and for a variety of other reasons, I'm not out much on the town, so I'm not really a great observer of the social scene. Secondly, there are roles to be played here. I am a member of Congress, and I work with a whole range of people, not just on gay rights. Obviously, that's a small part of my responsibility. I have responsibilities to my constituency, to the committee where I'm the senior Democrat, to my own ideology. So at any given moment, I might have to work with almost any other member of Congress on some issue. It might be a foreign policy issue. It might be Congressman Chris Smith in New Jersey has been very anti-gay, but he and I have worked together on some human rights issues internationally, and I can disagree very strongly with the position and disapprove of it, but it would be foolish to let that be a barrier to my being able to cooperate with him when there's a mutual goal. So it would just undercut my role as a member of Congress if I was myself to be the outer. In those two circumstances I mentioned before, I threatened to out people in defense of my role in Congress here. But in general, I don't think it would be the good thing for me to do.
Okay, we're going to go to a quick break. If you want to call in and talk with Congressman Frank, he's only here the first half hour. Here's your chance to call in. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, toll-free, 877-57-SCOOP. Or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. Should we ever out closeted gay politicians? Should we do it if they're hypocrites? Here's your chance to talk back and ask Congressman Frank whatever you wish right after the break.
Bush and gang came into office claiming to be morally superior to the sexually crass Bill Clinton. They took special glee in highlighting Clinton's reprehensible attempts to parse the legal institute sex, pointing to Bill's infamous contortions over what the definition of is. But, holy hypocrite, look who's doing legalistic contortions now, parsing the language of the law not to excuse personal sexual misconduct, but to rationalize the much more crass act of official torture. Internal memos now show that all of Bush's top lawyers were straining at the bit to unleash the CIA, FBI, and military forces to break both U.S. and international laws that ban the use of torture when interrogating prisoners of war. One in particular, a 2002 memo by Jay Bybee, top legal counsel in Bush's Justice Department, went to extremes to claim that in grilling detainees, the Bushites could use practically any torture methods short of killing prisoners without violating either our own nation's torture law or the Geneva Accords. Bybee's memo went into excruciating detail to parse such terms as severe pain, imminent death, and profound mental disruption. The memo concludes that only physical pain as intense as you would expect from organ failure or death qualifies as torture. Short of that, anything goes. The same anything-goes mentality that corrupted Enron and most of corporate America now is loose at the highest levels of government. It just shows that if top officials unleash crafty lawyers to justify the most despicable actions, they will. By the way, George W. has subsequently put Bybee on the U.S. Court of Appeals, where he can apply his anything-goes mentality to all the cases that come before him. This is Jim Hightower saying, we need a president who will choose lawyers of conscience, not of convenience.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, and I'm happy to have as my guest today my former boss, Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts. We are discussing a topic that hasn't gotten much discussion in the mainstream news sources, but is quite the buzz in Washington, specifically with some articles in gay newspapers about when you should out gay politicians and gay staffers. And if you want to call in, here's your chance to talk with my former boss and one of the best Democrats in Congress, certainly according to me, and I think according to most people. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. Congressman Frank, I did get an email from John in Arlington who disagrees with you. He writes, Democrats are themselves hypocrites. They insisted on Bill Clinton's right to privacy in his own sex life. They complained about Ken Starr, and now they're saying they can expose Republicans who are gay. Isn't this a form of blackmail, John writes.
No, because, again, people, I am struck by how they missed the fundamental point. I think the fact that someone is gay is irrelevant unless he or she is actively pursuing anti-gay policies. In Bill Clinton's case, he would clearly have forfeited that right to privacy if he had been a crusader for monogamy and sexual morality in that sense. I am not aware of anything Bill Clinton said, frankly, that contradicted that. Now, I thought Clinton was wrong there, and by the way, I did not object to the fact that people exposed what Clinton did. I didn't think they should have thrown him out of office for it. I don't know. I don't think the president who has sex in the Oval Office is very sensitive to his privacy, and I never objected to the fact that that was disclosed. In fact, I was ready to reprimand Bill Clinton for doing that because I thought it was an entirely inappropriate way for the president to behave. My view was that it was a ridiculous notion that you would throw him out of office for that and cancel an election. But the other point is, even at that level, Clinton was not being actively hypocritical. Again, I want to make this clear to people. I think they sometimes get a mindset and don't listen. The point I am making is this. In a democracy, if you make a set of rules, if you're in the position to impose behavioral standards on others, then you're under a special obligation to live up to those. Because the definition of tyranny and oppression is when you make rules that apply to other people and don't follow them yourself. Because that means that you are likely to make rules that are unduly harsh and unduly restrictive.
Well, what about his complaint that this might be some form of blackmail?
I disagree with that, because blackmail would be you would take, I think, the active position of saying to people, look, we want you to do this, and if not, we're going to do this to you. What happens here is the other way around. The act, I regard this as an act of self-defense. Remember, I'm not arguing for outing every gay person who happens to work for someone who's got an anti-gay record. I am talking about people who have themselves been actively involved in persecuting gay people and putting in laws that are anti-gay. And, yeah, I am trying to stop them. But I don't think when you try and stop an action that's inappropriate or wrong or oppressive that it's blackmail.
Let me read another comment I got from Rod in New York City. Rod writes, it goes without saying that so many fighting gay civil rights have a personal issue with homosexuality. If not closeted themselves, their evident homophobia in my mind points to their personal issues with sexual orientation. That being said, I feel some dismay with playing political hardball with someone's sexuality. My first instinct is this might be the role of activists. Then again, outing of a politician that flouts the Constitution and the Defense of Marriage Act should be made to admit they don't believe them, that they themselves are deserving of the same rights as any other American. I'm reminded of Howard Dean's anecdote of the Normandy Beach veteran thanking him for his civil union legislation in Vermont. If this brave soldier doesn't deserve the same civil rights as any American, who does? I don't know that you need to comment on that.
Well, I would comment just to this extent. And people just in the first part, he says, well, you feel a little sympathy for these people. Then get out of the business of politics. You have a right to your privacy. You don't have a right to be in a position where you are imposing rules on other people. If you are conflicted, if you are yourself gay or lesbian, and you wish you weren't, and you're conflicted by it, and of course, all of this, by the way, underlines the point that this is not a choice. I mean, you have these preposterous right-wingers arguing that sexual orientation is sort of a purely voluntary thing. It's hard to imagine that someone would be working for someone who is dedicatedly anti-gay and be gay himself if he could choose to be otherwise. But while he can't choose his sexual orientation, he can choose his profession. No, you don't have an obligation to come out, but don't put yourself then in a position where you are behaving in such a hypocritically unfair way towards others.
Let me go back in history a little bit. There are two very prominent gay people that come to my mind that were actively anti-gay in their politics. One is J. Edgar Hoover, the former director of the FBI. The other is Roy Cohn, who was a staffer for Joe McCarthy. Do you think that if those two men had been outed, their politics might have changed?
I think they should have been outed. They were both despicable human beings, people who did other people a lot of damage. And in Cohn's case, I know this for sure. In Hoover's case, it's been widely reported. In Cohn's case, there's no doubt. I mean, the man died of AIDS, which he acquired from a very, very promiscuous life that he lived. And I think, yes, it would have been very useful to have outed both of them because it would have driven them from those positions of power. It wouldn't have made them behave better. It would have made them less damaging. Having both of them stripped of their terrible power over others would have been a very humane thing to have happened. And I think had you exposed their hypocrisy, particularly, by the way, and this is interesting, you know, the outing thing, and you corrected me before I talked about Republicans. Of course, if you're going to do it, you have to do it consistently. But the point is that in our politics, things have evolved to the point where the Democrats are overwhelmingly supportive of GLBT rights. The Republicans overwhelmingly oppose. And what that means is this. If you are a Democrat and you come out, your political career is not likely to be jeopardized. But Republicans who are outed are much more likely to be marginalized and fired and thrown out. So in the case of both of these two people whose power bases were extremely right-wing, having the truth told about their lifestyles, certainly in Cohn's case and probably in Hoover's case, would have resulted in a loss of that power because it was rooted in this homophobic right wing.
Well, in fact, we have one specific example that we mentioned earlier. It's Jim Colby of Arizona, a Republican. And I guess my question for you, Barney Frank, you've certainly seen his voting record. I think, would you say that since he has come out, again, whether he was forced to or not is not clear, but since he's come out, his voting record has become better towards gay people?
somewhat. He was never a homophobe. He's in a difficult position. You know, he's from Arizona. There were three openly gay Republicans in Arizona in public office. It was the unusual state. One of them, Steve May, the state representative who got involved with an army situation where we had to protect him against being thrown out of the army. And, well, it was the Clinton people we had to fight to do that, and Clinton ultimately intervened on his behalf. Virtually none of the Arizona Republicans came in on his side except for one congressman, John Shattuck. But Steve May was defeated in a Republican primary. You know, we've had cases where Republicans were out losing their Republican primaries. We haven't had that on the Democratic side. And Jim Colby is a very decent guy who tries to be supportive, but it's a lot harder to do that from a Republican Party base than a Democratic base. Steve Gunderson, who was a very active pro-gay Republican, was essentially forced out of Congress once they outed him.
Congressman Frank, I have one last question for you, and then I know you have to get back. There are votes on the floor today of the House, and Mr. Frank definitely needs to be able to cast his vote. My last question is that for those who want to support John Kerry, of course, you endorsed him early on. He is a senator from your state, Massachusetts. There are some that say that because John Kerry opposes gay marriage in Massachusetts, even though he's against
it. To house your wife. Do you remember the answer?
I don't.
Compared to what?
Okay.
John Kerry is very good on gay rights in general. He has been since he got to the Senate in 85. He was the first, he was the main sponsor in 85, picking it up from Paul Tsongas when he replaced of the gay rights bill. I wish he was for marriage. I think it is the case that when this came up in last year, he and Howard Dean and Dick Gephardt and Joe Lieberman and every Democrat who had a serious chance to be president believed, I think correctly at the time, that if you came out for gay marriage, you couldn't get the presidency. So they hedged on that one and said they were for civil unions but not marriage. On the other hand, while John Kerry is for civil unions and not marriage, which I regret, he has made it clear that he is for full civil unions, that he is for repealing that part of the Defense of Marriage Act, which he originally was credited voted against, that would deny people in Massachusetts federal benefits. And since he's exactly supportive on every other issue, the fact that he isn't where I'd like him to be here, given that he's so much better than George Bush in every regard, it's enough, it seems to me, to people to support him. I would put it this way. Given that George Bush chose to use the Constitution against us potentially, if John Kerry, and not just John Kerry, but the Democrats in the House and the Democrats in the Senate, you know, it was a very partisan vote in the Senate. It's very partisan in the House with regard to the Defense of Marriage Act and the Constitutional Amendment. If the Democrats win big in November, I think you will see the end of gay bashing as a national political tactic because it will so clearly have not worked.
Do you think 4 years from now we could have a Democratic nominee who supports gay marriage?
I think that's very possible.
Thank you very much for taking the time out to be and you're going to hear very soon after the commercial break, Chris Crane, the editor of the Washington Blade. He has his own views on this matter, both with regard to outing gay politicians and outing gay staffers. And if you want to join in the conversation, you're always welcome to do so. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. What do you think about this? Is he right? Is he right that you got to expose hypocrites wherever they are? I mean, here you have a gay politician saying that maybe you forfeit your right to privacy if you're going to be hypocritical about it. The number's 877-57-SCOOP. Call in or send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be back with Chris Crane, editor of the Washington Blade, right after this.
Another Gooberhead Award, issued periodically to people in the news who have their tongues going 100 miles per hour but forgot to put their brains in gear. Today's Goober goes to an organization that marches under the majestic banner of Move America Forward. MAF would have you believe that it's a nonpartisan mass movement of patriots supporting our troops and the commander-in-chief in the war on terrorism. But the majesty of this outfit shrinks to minuscule when you peek behind MAF's red, white, and blue curtain and see that it's nothing but three pathetic right-wingers with a Mr. Microphone. Move America Forward is a front group set up only last month by the Republican PR firm of Russo, Marsh, and Rogers. which pocketed some $2.5 million in payments from Republican politicians in the last election cycle. Far from being patriots, these hired flacks set up MAF to engage in a decidedly unpatriotic act of selectively canceling the First Amendment. What has their knickers in a knot is that Michael Moore's dynamite new movie, Fahrenheit 911, is being shown in theaters all across America. Apparently, Russo, Marsh, and Rogers don't believe in the principles of free speech and open debate, at least not if these principles allow open criticism of their beloved King George W. So these goober heads launched MAF to trash Moore and try to prevent theaters from presenting his movie. On their website, they publish the addresses of major theater chains, asking rabid Bush supporters to deluge the chains with demands to shut out Moore. Tell the industry executives that we don't want this misleading and grotesque movie being shown in our local cinema, shriek the PR hacks. This is Jim Hightower saying, whether or not you like Moore, no true American can like this goofy, totally un-American stab at censorship. The best way to show up these goobers is to go see the movie and judge it for yourself. That's the American way.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
You know, out here in West Texas, it gets really hot, and it's a tough, dry heat.
Glenn Austell of Lubbock, Texas, talks about Gold Bond medicated powder.
When I'm working outside, my skin gets itchy and irritated. I guess you call it a heat rash or something like that. But Gold Bond relieves the itch and irritation. It gives me a cool, refreshing sensation. I'm telling you, once you've tried Gold Bond, you can't live without it.
Gold Bond medicated powder cools and soothes heat rash and irritated skin. Use it directed.
I mean, who wouldn't want to feel cool and refreshed?
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington. If you just joined in, you missed a terrific interview with my former boss, Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts, the senior Democrat on the Financial Services Committee, and the member of Congress who has the longest term of being openly gay. Barney Frank came out in the late 1980s, long before a lot of the modern gay rights movement. It was a pretty courageous act on his part. And yet he thinks that others should sometimes be forced to join in that, even those that aren't so courageous. Sometimes they should be outed. And I want to hear from you. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. I want to know if you agree with him. 877-57-SCOOP. And you can also send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. My next guest had a controversy of his own. He is Chris Crane. He's the editor of the Washington Blade, which is the premier gay newspaper in Washington, D.C. And there's a recent controversy just happened a week or two ago in the pages of a Washington regarding whether certain staffers should be outed, certain closeted gay staffers who serve anti-gay Republicans. Chris, first of all, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Tell me what happened, what was reported in your newspaper regarding these staffers.
Well, this whole round of outing that's happened in the last few months has been led by a couple of activists here in Washington. And initially they were looking at what you were talking to Congressman Frank about you know, members of Congress themselves who might be in the closet and who are supporting the federal marriage amendment that would ban gay marriage. But then they started looking below that on the totem pole and started looking at staffers as well, influential staffers in the offices of some of these people who were supporting the amendment. And I would say, just to clarify one thing you said, I don't think it's just Republicans. I think they would look at Democrats as well. So what we did as a newspaper is just report what they were doing. But that, of course, just in the process of reporting it, we had to confront our own issues of, you know, when are we going to use names, when are we not, when they tell us they're outing someone. And it was a good opportunity for us to revisit what our policy was on those circumstances where we might actually out someone in the press.
What is your editorial policy there at the Washington Blade?
Well, our policy is, first of all, that in the year 2004, it's never a wrong thing to ask someone whether they're gay or not. we're a gay newspaper. We write for a gay audience, and they're always interested in whether someone's gay. It's always relevant to them.
I just want to be clear here, because Congressman Frank said that you should only out. Are you saying that someone who's supportive of gay rights?
They say I'm straight. Then we'd say they say they're straight. So that to me is not outing. Asking the question is not outing. What outing is to me as a journalist is when I go behind that answer, someone who says I'm not going to talk about it, or someone who says I'm straight, and I report or investigate facts that are contrary to what they're saying. And what are the circumstances where we would do that, which I would consider outing as a journalist? And those circumstances would be when someone has questions of hypocrisy to answer. It's always our job as journalists to ask people and figures in positions of authority to explain apparent hypocrisies. And so those are the circumstances where we would ask the question.
Okay,
and that would apply not just to members of Congress, but to their top staffers.
And I want to get to that, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. Let me just ask you then, just to understand your position, if you have a closeted gay politician who's supportive of gay rights, and he or she is seen, kissing their partner at a gay bar in public, but you know it's not the public that their constituents know about. Is that something you might report in the Blade, or would that cross the line?
I don't know. You've got a front on the line there. To my mind, let's say we have a senator who's got a very gay voting record, and they're opposing the federal marriage amendment, and we ask them whether they're gay or not,
and they say I don't choose to. It doesn't matter to me. Sexual orientation should not matter.
Right. I would print that answer and generally not go behind it. But if they show up in public and start kissing someone, you know, full on the lips, I'm sorry. That's public. That's newsworthy. I'm going to report that. So I don't think that is the outing. To me, that person's out if they're doing that.
What if it's a private party where 100 people are gathered?
I mean, it's a judgment call.
Okay.
The more private the situation, the more I would require some reason to go behind their answer and ask them the question on the record about, you know, how this private this semi-private conduct fits with their voting record.
Let me give out the number again and encourage our listeners to take Chris on, take me on. I'm frankly not sure about how I feel about some of this, particularly the pro-gay politician. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. All right, Chris, let's go to that second part you mentioned, the part about the staffers. And you have reported in the Washington Blade regarding at least one staffer, I'm aware of, maybe two. Why don't you tell me what you've reported?
Well, last week, these activists that I mentioned before took on a particular staffer who worked for a senator from Oklahoma, James Inhofe, who I think you discussed earlier, who is pretty rabidly anti-gay, and in fact, in a previous incident, said he would never hire someone he knew to be gay or knew to be openly gay. And these activists outed this person by telling the senator's office and by putting it on their website. And then they came to us with the story, and actually the staffer came to us with the story because he wanted people to know why he thought this was wrong-headed, this strategy of outing. And so we reported the story.
Well, the staffer, the closeted, I don't know how closeted he was, the gay staffer came to you to complain about his outing on a website.
Correct. He wanted to tell in the press why he thought this strategy was, you know, not an appropriate way to go.
But in doing that, he's outing himself, isn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, at that point, he was out. I mean, his own senator issued a statement with his name that said, you know, repeated that he wouldn't hire someone he knew to be gay, because he would assume that person wouldn't share his political agenda.
Well, now, wait a minute. Here you have Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma, rabidly anti-gay, saying he wouldn't hire someone who's gay. He finds out his staffer is gay. I mean, did he lose his job?
No. No, I think the good senator was saving face with conservative constituents.
That's really interesting.
I think the senator has known this stuff.
It's kind of like, I guess, some Nazis had Jewish doctors. It's like they don't mind gay people as long as it's their gay people.
Look, Mark, what you need to know, what your listeners need to know, and people don't know this about what happens on the Hill, is that a lot of these people are fairly out in their office. What these conservative senators and congressmen do not want their constituents to know, that's the issue. They don't mind having gay people in their office they know to be gay, who, you know, may introduce them to a boyfriend. They don't care about any of that. What they care about is their constituents knowing that when it comes to practicing the homophobia they preach in their policies, they don't.
Now, let me get this clear. Are you saying that you know anti-gay politicians, people who do not support equal rights for gay people, whether it's in employment or marriage or in the military, anything, they might vote totally against gay people. They tell their constituents how much they're against gay marriage, it's going to harm society, all that kind of stuff, and yet they're introducing their gay staffers to a potential boyfriend?
It happens all the time. It happens at the Republican National Committee. I mean, it happens. It is commonplace. So long as the constituents who send in the dollars and cast the votes don't know, then these political figures don't care and actually have a fairly decent comfort level with it.
How about Senator Rick Man on Dog Santorum? does he have does you know of any hypocrisy in his regard?
There have been rumors for forever that one or more of his staffers are gay, but those are the sort of rumors that flow around the Hill all the time, and you know, that's sort of where you cross the line of, as a journalist, are we going to be putting out a gossip sheet? Are you going to be putting out a newspaper? And so, I hesitate to speculate on that, but it is certainly a common rumor among gay people on the Hill that there are one or more gay people on his staff.
Just a little clarification. Chris and I know what we're talking about. I want to make sure that you folks do. Rick Santorum basically likened gay marriage, two men who love each other, two women who love each other, as equivalent to man on dog. That's his words, not mine. I'm just repeating them. I want to give you one.
Actually, yeah. He said it was about sodomy. He said it, but.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Gay sex was like man on dog.
Right.
So, well, I don't know that that's so different, but fair enough. Correction noted. Correction noted. Let me go one more commercial break, and then you have your last chance to go and call in and tell me if you agree with Chris Crane. Do you think he's taking this too far, or do you think, hey, you know, right to privacy, there are limits? The number is 877-57-SCOOP. 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. Back with more right after this.
Take the A train. Ride that Wabash cannonball. Hear the clickety-clack of the Orange Blossom Special. Trains are more than a part of our history. They're a rich part of our culture. But are they a part of our future? I'm not talking here about the enormous potential of long-distance trains, upgrading Amtrak and building a top-of-the-line high-speed train system between our population centers. Rather, I'm focused today on the promise of rail travel within our great metro areas. I've ridden these local systems in the Bay Area, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and elsewhere. They're simple, handy, efficient, fast, inexpensive, and a joyous way to get to where you're going. They also move hundreds of thousands of people a day without creating traffic jams or smog. And they create thousands of good jobs at good wages. Here's what one observer says. Mass transit is an excellent substitute for roads. These are not the words of some anti-auto earth-firster, but of Paul Wyrick, an icon of right-wing thinking. To him, urban train systems make all kinds of sense and are a legitimate focus for federal, state, and local spending. Public demand for these systems is strong. Ridership is up 21% in the last 5 years. New systems in Dallas, Denver, Salt Lake City, and elsewhere are exceeding expectations, and there's a backlog of 200 local transit projects seeking federal matching funds. There's the problem. The Bushites, tagged by Wyrick as the most anti-rail administration in our country's history of mass transit, is trying to gut federal support. In their zeal for fiscal conservatism, writes Wyrick, they are prepared to scuttle one of the most successful government programs of all time. This is Jim Hightower saying, Missing the Train, a new report by the Sierra Club, highlights projects in Tampa Bay, Portland, Houston, Milwaukee, and elsewhere endangered by Bush's cuts. Get a copy, 202-675-7915.
LendingTree.com presents How to Get Out from Under Debt. First, take an average guy.
Hello.
Then add some credit card debt, a car payment, and a student loan.
How?
To get out from under all this debt, get a debt consolidation loan from LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. you'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington. We just have a few minutes left. My guest is Chris Crane, the editor of Washington's premier gay newspaper. Is it the only gay newspaper, Chris?
In Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
It's the only gay newspaper in Washington, D.C., the Washington Blade, and the controversy they've had regarding outing closeted gay politicians and outing closeted gay staffers. And I have an email here that raises a good legal and political question. And the emailer asks, if someone loses employment because of outing, is that slander? Can it be recompensed through civil litigation, even if the outing is true? Is stating a person is homosexual, is that slander because it is derogatory professionally? Well, I'm going to answer your question legally here. I can tell you, first of all, that generally truth is a defense to slander. So if you out someone as gay and they really are gay, truth is a defense. I should tell you that sometimes you can expose someone's private life. There is some law on this. It's some states. You can sue. For example, if you say publicly that a man is having an affair, or that and you spied into his window to get that information, there are some states, I should say, that have a violation of right to privacy. But I think that's the minority. I should also add to the emailer that legally, and again, I'm a constitutional lawyer. I do happen to know this stuff. It's interesting that while it is true in the past, if you slander someone, if you say they're gay and they're not gay, you could get damages. That definitely was true in the past. It probably is still true in most states if the charge is false. But recently a court has held that it's not slander, even if it's false, because it's not derogatory anymore to call someone gay. And I think that's a progressive court, and that's the wave of the future. But I do think it also raises a political question as well as a legal question, and that's a good one for Chris Crane. Chris, you know, we're trying to argue as people who are gay and support gay rights that gay people shouldn't be fired because they're gay, and yet you're advocating a position that could lead to, for example, the staffer to Senator James Inhofe. That very well could have led him to be fired. Isn't this a contradiction?
Well, first of all, I would say that it's not the job of a journalist to not ask a question and not do a story because it may have consequences. I mean, I think if journalists were asking that question themselves all the time, a lot of stories wouldn't get done. Now, maybe a lot of people think those stories shouldn't be done, but our job is to ask newsworthy questions to public figures and report the answers and let readers decide what they think of them. I don't think it's my job to second guess, okay, now I better not ask that question because I might get the person I'm asking, in trouble if I ask it.
Well, then let me ask you this. What is off limits to the press? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, the way I set this up at the beginning was I don't think in 2004 it's ever an invasion of anyone's privacy, especially if they're a public figure, to ask them if they're gay. I think that's a non-private fact. There's not a member of Congress or a public figure out there who's heterosexual who views their sexual orientation as a private fact. The only people who think their sexual orientation is a private fact are closeted gay people. It's not even gay people generally. If you're out, you don't consider your sexual orientation private either. It's only closeted gay people. And I don't think we make exceptions in other areas for a small group of people who view a piece of one fact about themselves that everyone else views as public, and we accept their exception because we feel sorry for them in a situation. I don't think that's our job.
It's interesting. I remember when Ricky Martin was asked the question of whether he was gay, and he said, well, this is a private matter, and so everyone said, okay, he's gay. Because
the only kind of person who would say that. I mean, yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, because anyone who's straight says, I'm straight, and, not that I have any problem with it, but it's people that don't answer that question that generally are gay. And I think that society is changing and that you're getting fewer and fewer closeted gay people, particularly in the big cities. What struck me when you say, Chris, that you have these members of Congress who are straight, who are, homophobes, who very much want to make, civil rights not exist for gay people and tell that to their constituents and thump the Bible, but then are trying to set up their staffers, you know, with a date.
Yeah, they're not think they actually are homophobes. I think most members of Congress all the time on the Hill and are cliques, and it's just like I think in the civil rights movement in the 60s and 50s, there were plenty of Southern politicians, white politicians, who were very comfortable on a personal level with black people, but felt, you know, lacked the political will, the courage to take up a voice.
Well, and that'll have to be the last word. Chris, I want to thank you very much for coming here on the Inside Scoop and for addressing this very important question.
Sure.
I want to read one last email before we close. This is from Rick. Rick writes, if a person promotes a moral, ethical, or social issue and claims to hold their position and then persecute others that have that position, then I think that that person needs real position should be revealed. I didn't have much time to read the entire email, Rick, but I agree with you that hypocrisy is important. It has to be exposed. And I should say that this is larger than simply an issue of gay people. Certainly, it has to question if, you know, Rush Limbaugh talks about the fact that drug users are bad, and then we find out, oh, Rush Limbaugh's a drug user, then it's relevant. Contrarywise, I should say, if you support the legalization of drugs or you don't think that people should be punished really harshly for drug use, and then you use drugs, I don't know that it should be exposed. A journalist like Chris Crane, he might expose it. Not me. I don't think that people's private lives generally should be exposed. I don't think, frankly, and I may disagree with both Congressman Frank and Chris Crane on this, I don't think the fact that Bill Clinton was having sex with Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office was really something that we needed to know about. Now, maybe all of you disagree with me, but we'll have to save that for another time. Listen, there's no show tomorrow. I'm off, but in honor of the Senate's failure to pass the federal marriage amendment yesterday, I'm going to replay one of my favorite shows. I debate a guy from Focus on the Family. This is an organization that teaches people how to oppose gay marriage, and I debate him on whether or not gay people should have equal civil rights to marriage. That's tomorrow. It's a replay. Don't call in, but I think you'll agree it's a very interesting show. So tune in tomorrow for a replay of one of my favorite Inside Scoops. This is Mark Levine signing off.